If I told you about her, what would I say?
She got a great ass!
Now playing Movie Reviews in 20 Qs.
Welcome, fellow movie watchers. This is Movie Reviews in 20 Qs. This week, we are reviewing the 2017 Oscar winner, or 2018 Oscar winner, but it was 2017 release movie.
We're off to a good start.
This week, we are reviewing The Shape of Water. I am your host, Stacey Gavin. And this week, I have two delightful co-hosts, our one and only Sam Hurley. How are you going, Sam?
I'm very well, Stacey. How are you?
Good, thanks. Are you looking forward to talking about this movie?
Oh, I love talking about sex between fish and humans. This is, yes. I've been waiting for this podcast a long time.
You're going on about it all the time. Yeah, can't shut you up. Okay.
Don't look into my browser history.
And also joining us this week, we're very excited to have one of our previous guest stars back, Emma. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
So good to see you again, Emma.
Yeah.
Emma, you might recall being on our, what do we have her on, the old school La La Land?
Just those two, I think. So
Still a two-time all-star on Movie Reviews in 20 Qs.
Yes, and a fellow film nerd.
Yeah.
here to outsmart me. That's not hard.
That's my
Okay, so as I said, this week we are reviewing the 2018 Oscar winner, The Shape of Water. So hit us with the plot, Sam, for those who missed it.
Eliza is a mute, isolated woman who works as a cleaning lady in a hidden, high-security government laboratory in 1962 Baltimore. Her life changes forever when she discovers the lab's classified secret, a mysterious scaled creature from South America that lives in a water tank. As Eliza develops a unique bond, aka has sex, with her new friend, she learns that its fate and very survival lies in the hands of a hostile government agent and marine biologist.
Yes.
Who the fuck writes these,
That pretty much sums it up. Look, you can write your own, Sam.
I do, and they're often rejected.
For such a brilliant film, it has got a very bad intro. Where was that from?
Google. Would either of you care to elaborate on a better plot summary?
She fucks a fish.
No, it's more than that. She falls in love and she feels connection with someone, regardless of what they are.
The word fairy tale should have been there. Somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a fairy tale for adults.
Let's crack into it, guys. The ratings for this movie, IMDb have this at 7.5 out of 10 and Rotten Tomatoes 92%. Bit of a discrepancy there. How would you rate this movie out of 10,000, Emma?
Okay, so I've given it a rating of 9,000 out of 10,000.
Woo!
I gave it a pretty good rating because I loved this movie.
Yay.
Jesus, that's a pretty high rating for...
I love it when we have high scores.
Yeah.
What about you, Sam?
High score wins?
Yeah. I wasn't completely blown away by this movie. Oh, I'd give it 7,269.
Wow.
Mm.
Okay. I'm going with, in the middle, with 8,320.
Holy shit, that's a good score from you.
It's cool, so I won.
Yeah, Emma wins. Congratulations, you had the high score.
Well done. So we're starting off with a fan question provided by Flix X-Rayed. So thanks for that, guys. The question is, what would be the biggest challenge of romancing a fish person?
I think it's keeping them hydrated. I think your water rates bill would be through the roof. What about you, Emma? What do you reckon?
The fish creature in this movie likes to eat eggs and they're not the cheapest thing, so maybe just feeding them would be the hardest thing. He obviously doesn't eat just normal fish food.
It looks like he's a fan of stray cats as well, so that would be quite useful in this town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Stacey? Come on, what's your answer?
Well, the biggest challenge for me of romancing a fish person would be constantly being wet and cold.
Oh, yeah, that you'd hate that.
You would absolutely hate that. So hit me with your compliment sandwiches.
Okay, so the thing I like most about this movie is the stunning visuals. Every scene is a delight to behold. The thing I didn't like about this movie, it's funny because I gave it a relatively low score, but I don't think there was any one thing that drove the score down for me. I just think...
It's just not for you.
Yeah, I just wasn't completely besotted with it. Like, great performances all around, everything like that, which is my final thing I liked, which was the performances of Sally Hawkins, of Michael Shannon, of Richard Jenkins. They were amazing. They were really good performances.
Nice. And Emma?
Okay, so this movie features one of my favourite actors, Michael Shannon. So one good thing about this is Michael Shannon's in it. A not so good thing about it is when the cat gets killed... by the fish creature. That was a little bit upsetting. And then another good thing about it was Michael Shannon was in it as a villain. Like, he plays a bad guy so good.
Oh, that's awesome. Sam normally tells me off when I have a same good thing twice.
No, I think it's hilarious. I don't tell you off.
Okay. That's not what you said about Thor topless.
Yeah.
Okay, so my compliment sandwich is, I just picked weird things because I couldn't really, I didn't know what I was doing. So I'm going with, I love that food was like a character in this movie because I love food generally. And it wasn't like.
Oh, she loves food.
It wasn't like amazing gourmet food that was a character. It was simple things like an egg or what he needed to be fed or the key lime pie that connected people. So it was cool.
That's true. Yeah.
The thing I didn't like is Zelda's husband is a dick.
Oh, yeah, he's a massive dick.
Mm. He was only in it for one scene, but that was enough to make me want to punch him.
Yeah, totally.
And
best name, though, Brewster.
Yeah, Brewster.
Brewster Fuller.
Yeah. Good name. And the final thing I liked was I loved the way that Eliza was given a voice through dancing and kind of physical movement. It was really a nice touch.
Yeah, for a movie where she barely says anything, she does manage to convey a lot of emotion. I mean, there's that one where she sings a song. That's it. She doesn't really say anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so guys, what flavor ice cream is this movie?
For me, this is obviously a green flavor because there's a lot of green in it. So I went with New Zealand classic that was spoken of before, which is Goody Goody Gumdrops, which is a limey bubblegum flavored ice cream that's green. But then there's a nice raspberry sorbet type stuff poured on top of it as well because there's a lot of red towards the end of it. But it's not a predominant color. It's just splashes of red against the green.
Sounds yum.
Yum.
Yeah, I'm hungry now. Should we pause while we get an ice cream?
Yeah, dessert time.
I thought my ice cream flavour for this movie would be some sort of salted flavoured ice cream. So maybe a salted vanilla.
Very nice.
Sea salt?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Nice. I'm going to go with something I just mentioned in key lime pie flavoured ice cream.
Oh, that answer makes so much sense. God damn it. Why the hell didn't I think of that?
I thought we'd all have the same answer for that.
Yeah. Because how many times that key lime pie features in it?
Yeah, you clearly weren't paying attention to the food.
He even hates the pie as well, and there's millions of them in his fridge. Damn it! Plague on both your houses, Stacey Gavin. That's right, I'm getting Shakespearean on you with my insults.
Yeah, why are you insulting me for having a good answer?
Because I'm jealous.
Okay, question number four. How long would you survive in this movie's world, Emma?
I don't think I would survive too long in 1962 Baltimore. I think I'd be straight out of there.
Really? What's so good about it? Oh, sorry. Yes.
Don't make me explain my answers, man.
Okay, moving right along.
For me, man, I'd last about, what's my record for Black Panther? 3 seconds? I'd probably be about 2 seconds in this movie. If they think he's a weird looking creature in which they need to study on and dissect, fuck, I'd be next up, man. I definitely would wonder how the hell I'm still alive.
Yes. The asset.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd be an asset. I'd be more of a liability than an asset.
I'd be giving you away in that case.
Yeah, true.
I
have given away my love quite a few times as well, so yeah.
But you never give away your eggs or food. You don't like really to
share. I shared my popcorn at the movies the other night, thank you.
Oh, yes, that's true. In a world first, everybody.
Sam shared himself. What?
Sam shared his jumbo-sized popcorn, which, by the way, is enough to feed like a family of 5.
7. Yeah.
Yeah. So he gave me and Kahu a couple of handfuls each.
It was excessively buttery and I actually felt sick for the first time in my life.
Anyway, I don't really know what you guys are on about. I think I'd survive this whole movie. What? Why wouldn't you? Like, what? I don't really get. No one's really, life is really in danger.
You got to put yourself in the movie, like what sort of role you'd be. See, I'd be a creature. You'd be a cleaner lady.
Yeah, so I'd just turn up, get on the bus, go to work, do some cleaning, go home.
Right.
You know. Fairly uneventful.
Just a monotonous face in the crowd, you reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so question number 5. What character clearly needs to get laid?
Michael Shannon's character.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got a lot of pent up frustration and anger.
Well, I just want to say, I think all of them need to. I feel like there is a lot of sexual frustration in this movie.
Admittedly, I was having a tough time deciding, and you were so right, Emma.
Yes, you nailed it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They did.
God damn it.
Yeah.
The shape of jealousy.
The shape of celibacy.
Hey! Now you got your porn parody name already!
Okay. I'm just going to go out and say Eliza needs to get laid. So she just goes out and gets laid. So good on you, Eliza.
Yeah. I wonder if she times her sessions to an egg timer.
Wow.
Or if that's just a masturbation thing for her.
Yeah, we didn't really see that.
We're already answering our questions earlier. I've just got to my deep philosophical debate about whether.
Okay, well that's question number six. Let's roll right into it. What is your deep philosophical debate, Sam?
That actually wasn't my deep philosophical debate. My deep philosophical debate was how depressing would the rest of Richard Jenkins' character, Giles' life, had been after this. He tries to hit on the on what he suspects is a gay guy, but turns out to not to be gay and gets rejected and gets told, get the hell out of here and never come back again. So a guy he's clearly in love with. His only friend in the world, which he says to her in the movie, is his next door neighbour, Eliza. She's now gone. She's swum off of a fucking fish man. How do you explain that to any new people? Why are you so sad? Oh, my best friend swam away with a fish dude. And then finally, end scene, he gets caught, found with a dead body, and him, the dead body being a government agent, how the hell, by the police, how are you going to explain that? What went on here? Well, similar to my best friend swimming away, you see, there was this fish dude who slit this guy's throat and then grabbed my best friend, the only one that could have corroborated the story, and they've jumped in the ocean and now they've swum off together. That guy's life is fucked.
It's true. I can't top that.
Yeah. Although, hang on a second. They knew about the fishman, right? The government agency. So that's not unknown. It's not like
But government cover up. They're not going to tell local Baltimore police that.
Sure.
They're not going to come to. Aided and abetted their prize asset. They're not going to help him. They're going to hate him.
Poor guy.
Don't worry, Stacey. I'm going to redeem it in a future question.
Emma, do you have a deep philosophical debate? Neither do I.
No. Can't top it.
Hey, here's one for you guys since we're trying to pick up the pieces on this question. Do you think either of you two could ever fall in love with a fish man? There's the deep philosophical debate for you.
That would be pretty hard. Like, she is just living her life and ultimately she falls in love with a fish man.
She doesn't go
that
out.
To your parents,
she doesn't go out seeking this particular animal or man or person or whatever. It's just something that she comes across and then it unfurls as time goes on. It's not like, right, everybody, I've finally decided I'm coming out as a fish lover. Off I go.
Yeah, I've been looking on that new app, Finder. Found a guy. There
I
are plenty of fish in the sea.
That's an awesome one too, Emma. There's a dating website over in the UK, Plenty of Fish. They would love this movie.
Okay, so we're moving on to question number seven. Would you date someone who said that they hated this movie?
I'll let you guys answer that one first.
No, I wouldn't. Because hate is an extremely strong word. And if you hate this movie, I think you really haven't got to the heart of the themes. You know, you haven't really, you've just skimmed over the surface. Like, Sam said he didn't love the movie, but he still gets that there's...
Yeah, his rating still leans towards a love more than a hate.
Yeah, exactly.
And I agree with you, Stacey. Like, if you just say outright you hate this film... You haven't really understood the themes of it.
Which then leads you to believe, does that mean you hate the other or anyone who's different or anyone who divides
Which
people?
Which is ultimately what this movie explores.
Love and all its themes.
What about you, Sam?
See, I'd be a bit more understanding. If I started dating a girl and I said to her, have you seen that movie, The Shape of Water? And she's like, God, I couldn't stand it. Who the hell wants to watch a movie about a fucking chick fucking a fish dude? I'd be like, okay, I can see how that would be unappealing. But I think maybe, like, you guys are right. Like, I think she'd probably be a bit more of a shallower person if she's missed all the themes and ideas.
That's not what the movie's about.
Exactly.
It's not a fish porn.
Would I date? Yes. Would I date for a long period of time? Probably not.
Mm. Fair enough.
If she's down with horse loving, then yeah, sure.
It'd be interesting one to see down the path if they outright hated a movie like this once you got to know them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of movies that I love that Stacey hates, but I've never considered stop seeing her because of those. Because most of them typically are pretty shallow movies.
Like what?
Like Die Hard and Debbie Does Dallas.
I never said I hate that movie.
Schindler's List and English Patient.
Moving right along. Question 8. Which subplot from the movie would make for an awesome spin-off?
And this is where I redeem Giles's character. I want to see what happens after The Shape of Water finishes. I want to see Giles being the fugitive. Giles is on the run. He's going across America. He's been chased by police, government agents, all that sort of shit. He's secretly a badass. He meets the guy of his dreams, falls madly in love, moves down to the Amazon, reconnects with Eliza.
Wow, you've actually thought out the entire plot of the movie too.
Hell yeah.
Wow, well done.
Or even if he doesn't find the love of his life, maybe Fishman's got a fish bro.
Sure.
Or a fish cousin or...
Okay, Emma, can you please raise the level of this conversation?
Well, hopefully I can.
I'm trying to look up the grey dude.
Hopefully I can with the actor that I pick for my spin-off movie. Michael Shannon's character does not die at the end of The Shape of Water.
And he moves to New Zealand and hooks up with me.
Instead, he goes back with the government dudes and then they're like, well, since you lost the asset, we're going to send you to the moon. Because just remember, this is 1962 and they haven't actually sent a man to the moon yet.
True.
Yeah.
So that would be my spin-off movie.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And then
that's
it stars good. Michael Shannon.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Stars Michael Shannon and Emma Pottinger. The Shape of the Moon.
What about you, Stacey?
I want to see what happens with Zelda. So,
oh, yeah, she was my second choice.
Because she's like badass, right?
Yeah, she's awesome. Her and her husband would make for a wacky comedy movie, eh? Like real sassy black woman and useless husband.
I was thinking she might leave her husband and like go on to like take over the world or something. Like, she seems like that kind of character who goes, well, look, if my friend can fall in love and start swimming in the ocean, then man, I can do anything. Maybe she could be the first woman in space or something.
Well, she moves away, renames herself Oprah Winfrey and starts the television network.
Wow, yeah.
True story.
Yeah, true story, yeah.
Nice. Uh-oh, it's that time. We have to talk about him.
Stacey's
I didn't want
question.
To. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage into this movie?
I love Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I love Nicolas Cage too. Stacey hates him.
I really love him. Uh-huh. Actually, I think I could put him in this movie. I would have him as just a cameo, you know, not to overshadow anyone else, but I would have him as the Cadillac salesman. I think Nick Cage could do that small role perfectly.
Perfect. Awesome. I liked the way it ended where he healed Eliza and then gave her gills. And then Richard Jenkins then talks about, I wonder whatever happened to them. I like to tell myself they fell in love. What I would have liked to have seen is almost a dream sequence of Richard Jenkins where we see Fishman and Eliza back in the Amazon and they're in the water. And then Nicolas Cage comes along as another Fishman. And it turns out he's the Fishman's priest and he marries them. And they have this ceremony. This is why I don't write fucking movies,
wow,
guys.
Wow, that's elaborate.
A couple of podcasts ago, you said to me, you'd love to see a movie that I wrote. This is the reason why I said to you, that's the stupidest idea in the world.
Not every movie that you pitch I want to see. But
so you don't want to see Nicolas Cage as a priest marrying a fishman to a wife?
No.
That's not the craziest movie he's been in either.
No. And I feel like if you ring him up and you're like, we need you to be a priest and a fishman, we're like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do it, yeah. He'd be there in a second. He says no to nothing. I love that about him.
I'm just going to put him in a really nondescript role. He can be the security guard in the research facility.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who I can't even remember.
Half of the podcast course. Stacey Gavin's put Nicolas Cage into the most de minimis role.
The one that stops Giles in his van, that one.
Oh, yeah.
Does he get run over? He gets shot, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets shot.
No, that's a good one, Stace.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Phew. Perfect. Yeah.
See you later, Nick Cage.
I can see him in that role.
Okay, and question number 10. What would the porn parody name of this movie be?
The Slamming Underwater.
Grinding Nemo.
Yeah, that's a good one too. What do you got,
Stace? Very creative. The Shape of Celibacy. Nobody actually has sex except for Eliza and...
Oh, I've got another one. The Shaft of Water.
The Shaft of Water.
Nice, very funny. Okay, so that leads us over to Emma for her set of questions.
Okay, guys, so this essentially is an interspecies, or is it, love story? Could this have worked with a different animal?
I am going to say yes.
Yes from me too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because even for me, the only reason why I say this is we've all sort of said he's a fish man. I don't know if he is a fish man. Is he an amphibian man? Because he sort of lives outside of water. Could a reptile man could probably do it. Maybe even a bird man.
And he is a god.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he's more than just a fish man, really.
Yeah, totally. Yes. I mean, we watched the thing before we did this podcast about all the themes and stuff, and it's almost like a remake of the creature from the Black Lagoon. So he's made his version of that, but still like another creature in that role. I think it's possible, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like about the other. She, you know, Eliza's just looking for someone who she can be herself with. And so that could be anyone or anything. Mm.
Like, yeah, and I think because she's mutant different, she sort of feels this affection for someone else that's mutant different.
Mm.
Yeah.
And like what you said before, Stacey, like she didn't go out seeking him. She wasn't out there looking for a fish man. Wasn't like, well, I'm over.
But she suddenly got slapped in the face with a fish.
So this is the next. Yes. Next one.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So this film's tagline is a fairy tale for troubled times. Let's hear a new one.
Well, first of all, I think that is a brilliant tagline because it really makes you think. So The Shape of Water on its own, when you don't know anything about the movie, is like a bit mysterious. Mm. So that tagline actually goes, okay, fairy tale for troubled times. What is this? You know, it's quite, it makes it more intriguing. So it's hard to come up with something better.
You're just trying to talk your way out of answering this, Stacey.
I was just hoping something would come to me while I was jibbering
I'll replace a fairy tale for troubled times with a fairy tale for troubled times.
Yeah. Maybe even a fairy tale set in troubled times.
Yes, for troubled people.
Or troubling times.
Yeah, troubling times. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, what's your answer, Sam?
Interspecies love fest.
Oh, I think we need to bring in Finder. This sounds like a great
app. Yeah. Finder sounds awesome.
It's like, Finder for everyone.
Mm. Even like
Finder, plenty of fish in the sea.
Yes.
Given the poem that gets read at the end, I think like love can take many forms. Because as Guillermo del Toro has come out to say, The Shape of Water is implicating that it's this, that's the shape of love. It can move and surround and overpower you. Yeah.
Okay, fish guys. Sex. Okay, moving on. So one of my favourite actors, Michael Shannon's character, loses his...
Oh, he's your favourite. Oh, we didn't know that. Surprised. Oh, that's a surprise.
Didn't know that? No, oh, he's a great actor. He loses his fingers. Wait, did we put a spoiler alert?
Oh, yeah. Every single one of ours have spoilers. Okay. Yeah.
Spoiler alert for like practically everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so he loses his fingers. What body part would you guys be okay with losing?
Probably a fingernail.
Okay.
That's the lame.
Yeah, it would have to be something suitably minor.
Okay.
Really, because that's the question. Would you be okay with losing it?
Yeah.
Like if it and was I'm something saying, yeah, bigger, if it was something bigger, then you wouldn't really be okay about it. You could make it okay if you lost a leg or an arm or something.
What about you, like your nose? How would you feel about that?
No, I wouldn't be okay with that.
What about an ear?
Mm.
Maybe part of an ear, like not the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
So just three quarters of an ear.
Maybe a couple of toes, but not all of your toes, because then you find it hard to walk.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of fingers, not all of them. So my answer is part of something lose.
Yeah.
The movie ended and his fingers were still in Zelda's apartment, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep. I like explaining that one to the kids, eh?
I know.
Yeah, I joked about losing a fingernail. I'm the same as Stacey. You know, just like a little part of you, but nothing too major, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely not my most forward-fronting appendage. I'll put it that way. And it's two friends either side of it.
Okay, so you won't be going in for a sex change anytime soon.
Oh, no, maybe the day after we get married, I might decide to tell you that I'm due for a sex change. But...
Oh, I'm going to write that into the contract.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
What contract? I knew you were getting a prenup.
No, I thought that marriage is a contract. There's a contract to say.
Oh.
Is it not?
I don't know.
I need to rethink this. Okay.
I think I do as well. Holy shit, if there's contracts involved, what am I giving up here, man?
Well, you have to sign something, right? So
maybe my balls will be in a jar.
Oh, yeah, I need to read this document.
Or in Stacey's handbag.
Anyway, getting way off topic there. Where are we up to? Oh, question number 14. We're up to Sam.
So it moves me on to my set of personal questions. First up, what two other movies could this form an unofficial trilogy with?
The Little Mermaid and Amelie.
Hmm. Oh, true. Yeah.
I get that. I went a little bit different in my thinking around the timelines of the movies. So I would say this would be number two in my made-up trilogy. So number one would be Pearl Harbor, where Michael Shannon is a lieutenant. He then is like, fuck that, and goes on and finds a creature in South America and brings it back to Baltimore in the shape of water.
All right, yeah.
He doesn't die in the end. Instead, he reinvents himself as like one of America's most famous entertainers ever, Elvis, and you'll see him in Elvis and Nixon. I think that'd be a great trilogy.
Wow.
I think Michael Shannon's going to need to take a restraining order against Emma. Even that, or he needs Emma as his manager. Cool. So moves me on to my next question. Which one of these characters, and this is kind of a sad one, given most characters in this movie are, well, sad, but what character would you most want to go out and have a beer with?
Zelda.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a good choice.
She's pretty cool.
Same yeah. for you, Emma.
She's a good sort. No, actually.
Whoa.
Michael Shannon's character?
No.
Brewster.
Okay, Michael Shannon in real life. But in this movie, going back to what you said earlier, Sam, Giles is going to have a pretty shit time after like everyone he knows like essentially either dies or leaves. Yeah. So I would want to go out for a beer with Giles and be his new friend.
Yeah.
That'd be cute. Nice.
And he also lost his cat.
He's not going to hit on you either.
He is such a great character.
Yeah, yeah.
I love him. In fact, I could move into the apartment next door to him.
Yeah, though it would have quite a lot of water damage and mold, probably.
Yeah.
But it's right up above a cinema.
Above a movie theater. Yeah.
I'm just going to echo Emma's agreement there. I'd also love to go out with a fucking Michael Shannon for a beer because did you guys see the photo of him on Oscars night?
Oh, yes, I saw this.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Actually, you Sam, I think you sent it to me.
So while this movie is winning Best Picture of the Oscars night, Michael Shannon was sitting in a dive bar by himself watching it on a TV screen.
Why? Was he not invited? Or he just doesn't go to these things?
No.
Michael Shannon was not nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Which is a crime. He should have been. He was amazing. Someone else chip in and say he's amazing?
Yeah, he's great.
I'm like a crazy
fan. The obsession comes back out again. But he should have been nominated for lead actor too. And best.
So hang on a second. Do you have to be nominated to attend or can you just be invited?
You can still be invited, yeah. Yeah, like people get invited to the Oscars all the time. So it's interesting to know whether or not he did get invited and he was like, ah, fuck that. There's no point going to that bullshit. But he's just gone out for a beer that night and it's like, oh, the Oscars are on. I'll just sit here and watch it. So I've got a new question that I'm introducing to the podcast, which I think is quite clever. What sort of plot device or series of events or occurrence could have made this movie end an extra half an hour earlier?
If the high tide date was earlier.
That makes a lot of sense.
Then could have cut a couple of weeks off her crossing things off on her calendar.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. That's true. Mine's quite similar. And I was thinking about the scene where she finds him in the theatre, that they could communicate to each other somehow then, like, let's just go. There's nothing keeping us here.
Yeah.
Let's just go now.
Let's get the fuck out of here. Yeah. That's before he gets, like, real sick and stuff, eh?
I think so.
Like, when he sort of first gets out? Yeah, something like that.
All right, guys. That brings us to question 17. Why was everything in the movie green?
I think it's quite symbolic and representative of nature and the lush green Amazon rainforest.
I like the theory. I think you touched on it earlier, Sam, like that the green represents what's bad and what's happening in the world then and there. And then as towards the end of the film, we see the touches of red and stuff as like meaning like love and in the future. A lot of the green things that we see, the characters don't like them. We see the key lime pies and Giles doesn't like them. And then Michael Shannon's character is like convinced to buy a teal Cadillac, even though he doesn't like it. He's told it's the colour of the future. They're living in a world that's changing and all these things are kind of happening
and
around
now
them.
I feel dumb.
That was
great
a
answer,
very
Emma.
Good answer, Emma. Thank
well
you
done,
for
mate.
Clearing
well
that
done.
Up for me.
Oh, I mean, actually, it's just the director's favourite colour, apparently.
Oh, really?
I've got no idea. The creature himself doesn't have any green on his body. I think I read that.
Yeah, he's all blue.
Yeah, he's
much,
all like blues, blue. Different shades of blues, and maybe yellow, like maybe? Purples and yellows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he doesn't represent either of those colors. Yeah.
Oh, true.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's one of those films that you can start to like really dissect and there's just so many.
When you put blue and red together, doesn't that make green?
No, that makes purple.
I think it's blue and yellow.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention in kindergarten or primary school or any other year at school.
Okay. So thanks for clearing that up, guys.
I've got 2 degrees, by the way, but anyway, yes.
Sam, just shush. You're finished, okay?
I'm just summing up the education system in New Zealand.
Yes, very important. Okay, so as we know, this movie won the Oscar for Best Film. Yeah. Do you think this movie should have won?
Yeah, I think it should have. It was my guess to win.
Ooh.
And I was so happy that it did.
I wanted to Get Out to win.
Yeah. So you don't think this should have won?
No, I think it deserves to win. I think it's a good film. I think it's very artistic and I can see why a lot of people voted for it and all that sort of stuff. But I really wish Get Out had won.
Sometimes it's hard. Some years there's, you know, you're like, oh, none of them should have won or, you know, and then you get a year like this one, in my opinion, where we had some like amazing original stories being told and exploring themes that mean so much right now.
Very clever. Yeah. A lot of very clever movies this year, I think.
Mm. Yeah, totally.
Do you think this movie would have worked if the genders were reversed? So the male was human and the female was the fish?
What? No.
What?
No.
Yes, the movie came out in the 80s. It was called Splash.
Yeah, it was Splash. Yeah. No, I get that. Actually, wait. Yes, I do. Because we buy interspecies love all the time in sci-fi movies where Captain Kirk is ploughing a universe full of aliens. And
oh, Avatar?
An Avatar.
Yeah.
Where it's real common for the guy to be out there exploring the universe penis first. So, yes, I honestly think, we could have brought this as a man and a fish lady.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the sequel.
Yeah.
Man and Fish Lady. Shape of Water 2? Electric Boogaloo?
Maybe.
Shape of Water 2? Men Do Fish 2?
Double as a porn parody.
Men Do Fish too.
Okay, so thanks, guys.
Hello, Hollywood. If you'd like me to write.
That brings us to almost the end of our podcast, our final question. This is another fan question from...
Yeah, so this question came courtesy of... We Watch The Thing. Thank you again. You guys always chip in and give us good questions. Thanks everyone else that submitted a question. We had to go over the ones that we thought best, and this one was hilarious. So you guys won the question of the week the other week, and you've won it again this week. Your prize this week is going to be the Kanye West song of How He Is A Gay Fish from the South Park episode. In which all the characters go to Kanye West, hey, do you like fish sticks? And he says, yes. And he's like, why? What are you, a gay fish? And Kanye just doesn't get it. He's like, if I like fish sticks, then why am I a gay fish? And spends the entire episode trying to guess it. And then right at the end, he just comes to grips and says, no, I must be a gay fish. Jumps in the ocean and starts having sex with fish. So here is Gay Fish, starring Kanye West.
Let all my fans know I love them. But a gay fish just can't live in the outside world forever.
Who does Kanye's voice, Matt or Trey?
It sounds like Trey.
Are you sure that The Shape of Water wasn't based on this little music video?
It was like Guillermo del Toro one night was watching South Park and he was like, that's it, I want to do a fucking...
Maybe. So, hope you really enjoyed that prize. The reason they won that prize is for this question. What would be easier to fall in love with, a reverse centaur or a reverse mermaid?
So that's a pair of legs with a horse upper body or a pair of legs with a fish upper body.
I feel like I've seen this, like American Horror Story and also an episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's like a lone shark who's like a literal shark on legs. And I'm sure in American Horror Story we've seen a man with a horse head.
I think I've only watched about four seasons of that. I haven't seen it later on.
Both are horrifying.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Stacey? What one would you choose?
I'd have to go for the land mammal. So the reverse
as opposed to the ocean mammal.
Yeah, shark would eat eat you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just don't like being wet and cold all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Be easier.
So you guys going both for horseman?
Yeah, so that was the question. What would be easier?
Yeah, yeah,
what would
be easier?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you guys got it wrong. I'm picking suicide.
That is dodging the question.
Yes. No, I'm going to choose the life of a priest. I'm going to become celibate. There we go. There's my cop-out answer.
That wraps up the question portion of the podcast, and we are going to do a short trivia round, which Sam has specially prepared.
Okay, question number one. Sally Hawkins filmed a ton of underwater scenes in this movie. She then flew to London to film scenes for another movie in which she had to do underwater scenes. What was that film? Emma, take it away.
Paddington 2.
Yes. Congratulations, Emma. God. You're up. Stacey, you had nothing there. Okay, question number two. Out of the past 5 years, where does Shape of Water rank in terms of top grossing Best Picture winner?
Number one.
Yay, Emma! Yes. Emma's read the trivia for this.
I have not.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
It is pretty good.
So maybe that means it truly did deserve to win because it was popular with the fans and critics.
Yeah. Okay, question number three. I want you guys to give me to the closest minute gets it. How long is this movie? How long is this movie's runtime?
123 minutes.
Is that 2 hours and 3 minutes? Is that what you're saying? Okay. What about you, Sam?
98.
Emma, you're exactly on the money. Three questions out of five down. Oh, let's see if Emma can get a perfect five out of five. Now. Okay. Question number four. What three genres does this film fit into on IMDb?
Oh, fantasy.
Drama.
Sci-fi.
Crime.
The last one was adventure.
Adventure.
So pretty good.
We don't see the adventure part though.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
That's adventurous.
Trekking through South America and finding this fish man, bringing him all the way back to America.
Okay, here's another good one for you. So, final question. Best Picture nominees. This one, Three Billboards, Lady Bird, I, Tonya, Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out. Which one has the highest IMDb rating?
Get Out.
You're going with Get Out?
I'd want to say Three Billboards, but it potentially could be Call Me By Your Name.
So what one are you going for?
Uh-oh. Call Me By Your Name.
Oh,
I meant Three Billboards. It came out wrong.
Yeah.
Three Billboards.
So sitting at 8.2, Three Billboards. Sitting at 8.0, Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, one and two. That's pretty good.
Lady Bird, I, Tonya, both 7.6. Dunkirk, 8.0. Get Out, 7.7.
What?
Darkest Hour, 7.4, and this one at 7.5. So if the Best Picture winner was on IMDb ratings, Three Billboards would have won. And
it was a really good film.
Yeah, that was a really good film. Cool, so that takes us to the end of our podcast.
Does it, co-host?
Yes.
Sam.
I'm just overstepping my role here.
So
congratulations, Emma. You're the prize winner of this week.
You win the trophy.
You don't win the trophy because Kahu's the current champion.
No, it's there.
Yeah, I know it's there, but yeah. We're going to need you back so you can take on Kahu for the trophy, Emma.
I thought you told me that Michael Shannon would be something like in the winning prize. I had the best rating. I did well on the trivia.
True. Yeah. That would be quite good. Sorry.
Maybe you can find some
audio.
I've
never seen someone look so disappointed. Except for safety after we have me cook dinner. Anyway, that moves us on.
Okay.
Cringy.
Yeah. Okay. So that takes us to the end of the podcast. So thank you for listening. And I would like to thank our special guest star, Emma Pottinger, for joining us.
Thank you for having me back, guys. I always love doing these so much. So please have me back again.
Oh, of course.
We will. You always add so much intelligence and thought to the answers, which is
refreshing. Don't side-eye me while you say that. See you side-eyeing me.
And Sam, do you have any final thoughts?
No. The only thing I'm going to sign off with is if you would like to send us a movie that you'd like to do, if you'd like to send us questions, if you'd like to review our podcast, if you'd like to do any of that sort of stuff, we appreciate it a lot. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/moviereviewsin20qs. You can find us on Twitter at moviereviewsin. You can email us at mritqs@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a review, all the stuff that everybody asks you to do. As people that produce content, we really appreciate it. So some movies that were coming up that you guys might want to chip in on is we will definitely be doing, I'm just going to steer straight at Stacey while I say this because I can't wait to see how excited she's going to be about this, but we're going to be doing Avengers Infinity War.
Oh.
We're going to be doing Solo, A Star Wars Story. We're going to be doing Deadpool 2. We're going to be doing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
No. I'm not going to be doing Deadpool 2.
Oh, she's putting her foot down.
And what was the other one?
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Nah, not doing that. My Marvel quota is already full.
I think it's overflowing. I think you're... Yeah.
So I will potentially do Infinity War if I have to. Yeah. But then for the rest of 2018, sorry, Marvel, you're on your own. You're stuck with these guys.
Yeah. Oh, and so other big things is in any other podcast creators that are listening to this, big thing is that we're going to try in the month of May and June, we're going to get in as many of you guys as we can to guest on our podcast. So we've already been in talks to two. I can't reveal just who they are at the moment, but we already have talks to do it with two different podcasts. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. But anyone else out there, if you'd like to chip in or jam in on this podcast, by all means, get a hold of us. Currently ranked as the #1 podcast in TV and film in New Zealand for the past 3 weeks running. So pretty proud of that. Anyway, thank you again, Emma. Thanks. It's been amazing to have you. But that's thanks from me.
Bye.
Bye.
And then 10 seconds later, it's like, oh, where have I heard that before? So it's this fish fucking.